Good evening, Trinidad and Tobago, and welcome to this evening's edition of the Anglican Voice on i95.5 FM. For those of you who may be listening for the first time, this program is a program brought to you by the Incorporated Trustees of the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I am your host this evening. My name is Mark Haynes, and I will be hosting you and chatting with the Right Reverend Claude Berkeley on a very prevalent topic this evening. So before we go into the topic for the evening, and before we chat with Bishop, we will be discussing one or two things. This evening's topic, of course, which is the very prevalent in our society today, that is COVID-19. So we'll be discussing it in the context of the Anglican Church and the way forward, and what activities are taking place and all of these things. But before we get into the meat of the topic and the meat of all of this, let us start with a word of prayer. Almighty and eternal God, you are the creator of heaven and you are the creator of earth. You are the creator of all things that is in it, dear God. You are the Lord and the master of all things that are good, dear God. Dear Lord, touch our hearts, dear Lord, as so many of us, dear Lord, may be concerned. So many of us may be worried, dear God, based on what it is transpiring in our society today. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will not only guide us, you not only protect us, you not only keep us safe, dear Lord, but you calm our hearts, dear Lord. You calm our feet as we walk about to do whatever mission you have to do. You calm our lives, dear Lord, that we will not panic, but we will be able to think clearly, to be able to worship you, dear God, that we will not neglect your honor and your glory in our lives and every day that you have blessed us with life, with health, and with strength. I pray, dear Lord, that as we discuss your mission this evening, dear Lord, of your church, that you will guide us, your presence will be with everyone who is hearing our voices. In Jesus' lovely name we pray, amen. So this evening, we are going to start off with a hymn from our book of common prayer, from our hymn book, all right, that is Trust and Obey, a popular hymn, and we ask you to listen as we bring in God and the Holy Spirit in this evening's program.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on the way. But when we do His will, He abides with us still, and for all who will trust and obey, not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh.
Of them who will achieve.
And good evening, Trinidad and Tobago, once again to the Anglican Voice on I-95.5 FM. I am your host, Mark Haynes, on this evening's program, and we will be joined via phone with the Right Reverend Claude Berkeley, the Diocesan Bishop in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. Before we bring on Bishop Claude on this evening's program, I'd like to read something for you. Our topic this evening is dealing with COVID-19, which is very popular everywhere. Every bit of social media, the news, everywhere, traditional media. So this evening's topic is COVID-19 and the Anglican Church. So we will be having open discussions with Bishop in relation to some recent developments, and you, those of you that may not be aware, we invite you to stay tuned for the entire program so that you will be able to get your answers, your questions answered, as well as allow the Bishop to be able to give his view in terms of the approach that the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago is taking. Now, COVID-19, this is coming directly from the Ministry of Health website, Trinidad and Tobago, www.health.gov.tt. COVID-19, previously called the novel coronavirus, is part of a family of viruses that includes the common cold, SARS and MERS. Symptoms of COVID-19 include shortness of breath, coughing, fever, and acute diarrhea. In severe cases, symptoms may also include pneumonia, severe acute respiratory syndrome, and kidney failure. Following concerns in regard to the spread of the COVID-19, the Ministry of Health, in collaboration with the Airport Authority of Trinidad and Tobago and the Port Authority of Trinidad and Tobago, began thermal screening at the nation's major ports of entry as part of the country's infectious disease protocol, and will be employed in the government's efforts to detect the possible entry of these persons who may be displaying symptoms of COVID-19. These scanners are also in place at the nation's major air and seaports, including the port of Port of Spain and the port of Cedros. Prevention is the most important action you can take to protect yourself and your family from getting COVID-19. The Ministry of Health urges the population to wash your hands with soap and water or use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer. Cover your nose and mouth with a tissue when you cough or sneeze. Cough and sneeze into the crook of your elbow if you do not have a tissue. Avoid close contact with people who have flu-like symptoms. Thoroughly cook meat and eggs before consumption. Again, this was taken from the Ministry of Health website, www.health.gov.tt, where we urge you to please to use this as your source of information for all matters related to COVID-19. So now I am here and I would like to introduce the Right Reverend Claude Berkeley to the conversation. Reverend Berkeley, good evening. How are you?
Good, thank you, Mark.
It is
good evening to your listenership, and happy to be a part of the program.
Thank you, Bishop. And it is a pleasure to have you here with us, because I know that, well, I know you are joining us via phone. You yourself being recently returning to Trinidad and Tobago, so you are in a bit of self-imposed isolation.
Yes, Mark. I came back to Tobago today from a mission in the Grand Turk Islands and Providenciales.
Okay.
Well, the Turks and Caicos Islands. And I came back in today. And, of course, my household instructed me that I'm a self-imposed isolation. Otherwise, they will have to put it in effect. And I'm trying to be obedient to their call.
Well, Bishop, you have to make sure you protect yourself and those around you as well.
Well, I am to protect them, really. So they're ensuring that I protect them from anything that I may have picked up or otherwise.
Well, that is good, Bishop, and it's good to see that you are leading by example in terms of your dealing with this aspect of safety, especially within your own family.
Yeah.
Bishop, I would like to get right into the main aspect of discussion this evening. Yesterday evening, a circular or media release was sent from the Diocesan office, which indicated from the Vicar General that there would be closure of all church services today and until further notice. Can you shed some light on this with the listening public?
I would like to commend the Archdeacon, and I have no doubt that he would have consulted with, the Archdeacon / Vicar General. I have no doubt he would have consulted with other members of the clergy and probably the chapter.
Yes.
And medical and soap personnel, and they instituted that action, and I endorse it. Uh-huh. I give my support to it. I think it was the proper thing to do. And having done so, I would like to commend him and his team for taking that action in my absence.
Noted, Bishop. But my question to you, Bishop, is in this year's Lenten booklet, all right, Lenten Meditations 2020 by St. Andrew's Theological College, Unsettling the World. In today's particular reference, in today's particular scripture reading and reflection, Bishop, and I will read it for those who may be listening. It's taken from Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All right, and the reflection went on to say, Bishop, it is important for the church to never forget its mission to the world. Today's passage identifies four major duties of the church: which are devotion to the teaching of the apostles, fellowship within the community of faith, observance of the sacraments, and prayer. Now, Bishop, my question to you is, do you think that, because this is where our reflection is on at the point in time in terms of our Lenten observation, do you think that we are not, by the closure of the church, that we are not meeting our duties, these four duties of the church that were just identified?
The question is whether we are in breach of something?
Well, in terms of, we identified four duties of the church in terms of today's reference, meditation in our Lenten booklets, right?
Yes.
Which are devotion to the teaching of the apostles, fellowship within the community of faith, observance of the sacraments, and prayer.
Right.
Do you think that by the closure of churches due to the COVID-19 situation,
yeah,
are we in contravention of our beliefs and our practices as Christians?
Not at all. We are in no contravention whatever. We teach that worship is private and personal on one level and corporate on another level.
Yes.
That is an understanding and a teaching of our church.
Mm-hmm.
The catechism will give support to that. And more than that, Acts 2:42 makes reference to a particular period of time.
Yes.
When the church was not under persecution of that required it to retreat,
okay,
or to take some action that would interrupt, let's say, those four pillars, if you will, those four principles.
Yes.
So that having to close the church now or suspend worship does not in any way reduce the strength of our faith, as the case might be. And that has been an argument or a debate in point that has come up in very many different fora about our witness and our strength of faith by doing it.
Yes.
We are collaborating with what is the national agenda in this case,
mm-hmm,
of reducing or containing the pandemic that is upon us. Just permit me to, and this is guided not just by secular observations and operations,
mm-hmm,
but wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are also gifts of the Spirit which we invoke.
Yes, I agree.
During confirmation, let's say, it is what Jesus read, Isaiah 61. It is what is prescribed for the confirmation services, Luke chapter 4,
yes,
15-22. That whole matter of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and so forth. Now, one of the issues that happened is we are learning from issues which occurred in the 1918 flu pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
We are learning from what recently happened in Wuhan and Hubei in terms of their actions taken to flatten the curve of the spike in infection. And the Wuhan, where the thing might have broken out,
mm-hmm,
their graph is now flat, which means they have been able to take it down,
yes,
from the continued growth and a spike in infection rates and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
To do that, we require some drastic actions so that you serve the greater good. And one can say that Christians are people of faith, and therefore no harm will come to them.
Yes.
The question of it is, the people who make this claim are of different levels of faith. Some are full of faith, some are on their way to faith, and some are learning how to come to faith.
Yes.
One cannot lump all of that at one straight level to say that there is an equality of response. Were we to know that there was an equality of response, we can then take an alternative action because we know we are fully loaded, so to speak. But we have to think, as Paul wrote, about the weak and the strong within the body.
Yes.
Then we have to think for the wider community of which we are a part and of which we have a responsibility, mm-hmm, as well as for our members.
And Bishop, as you are on that topic, some people are also concerned in terms of the closure of the church. What will be the situation with funerals and weddings and these other things? Because some things we can't avoid, which is the passing of life. Weddings we may be able to postpone. What accommodations are being put in place for funerals and these things as well?
Okay, so as we speak, the cathedral chapter of the church will meet tomorrow just to iron out and put a certain perspective and firmness to a series of guidelines that will be given. But I can afford to say to you now that my directive on that would be that funerals will continue, and we try to encourage that we reduce the number of the gathering by having family members at the funerals, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That is not something that we can always legislate.
Yes.
But we would like to encourage that if the family, if it's restricted or reduced to the family, the impact of or the practice of social distancing would be enabled in a much better way than if you have a crowded funeral service or gathering. Then you have a greater risk of sparking off something. So people can still express their sympathy and condolences and so forth,
mm-hmm.
as we have done in the past, by a card, by a message using the WhatsApp. Social platforms, the phone, as the case might be, as against the direct contact. Because during this period, the intention is, as was done in a number of places, like the same I talked about Wuhan, you talk about Hong Kong, Japan, Taiwan, where this kind of action was taken to facilitate containment.
Yes.
They have also spoken about a place like Italy, which was forced to do that after they did not take the necessary actions earlier on. So it is tough. It is a sacrificial kind of response, but it is for the greater good of the entire land, which includes the church.
And one of the questions I have here in the WhatsApp group, Bishop, in terms of in response to what you just said, permit me, if you may, to ask this question.
Yes.
Clarify. In addition to services, other than all other church gatherings, are they to be suspended? For example, prayer meetings, harvests, fundraisers, what are the things? Are they also going to be suspended until further notice as well?
Yes, but what we are doing is that. So let me give you the short answer. Yes, for example, the caravans would have to be done away with and postponed maybe to Advent. I have a confirmation was planned for Tuesday. Given this development, that confirmation will also be postponed. And have to approach this matter based on the information coming to hand. And we would not like to be a part of the problem.
Yes.
We would like to be a part of the solution. So yes, for the time being, those church-related gatherings will be postponed or cancelled.
All right. And Bishop, also asking on the same line in terms of church. All right. Today, in terms of the closure of churches, would this also apply to the various parish offices as well?
No, parish offices should be open because parish offices have the opportunity to practice the social distancing required.
Okay.
The conduct of other matters of pastoral care, which comes through information and otherwise, would need to be engaged. So, yes, offices should be open.
Wonderful. And because that leads into my other question, Bishop. We have a lot of other activities that take place, particularly around this time. Because this is one of the church's busiest periods, traditionally, during the Lenten into Easter period. And we have a lot of teaching mission services. We have a lot of community projects. In particular, we have the Lenten Caravan. Right? Could you speak on these topics? Because I know that people may be looking forward to. We have our traditional services, in particular in the Anglican Church. Holy Week is one of the most significant weeks in terms of services for the year, right? Leading from Palm Sunday to Easter Monday.
Yeah.
Can you share some light on what will take place with these activities?
All right. We are not down to Easter, Palm Sunday and Easter week as yet.
Yes.
But we are progressing on a information gathering basis. And who knows, by the time we come down to Easter, today is the 16th, the 15th, sorry. Easter is the 12th of April.
Yes.
So there is, we have a little window where we can have a sense of how we might function during that time.
Okay.
So it is my hope that we can be back together for at least for Holy Week.
I am praying the same
Palm Sunday and Holy Week. But we would want to collaborate fully in respect of ensuring containment. Because I want to make one of the other points here.
Yeah.
I want to make reference to an article by Thomas Pueyo. I don't know if I have the pronunciation of his surname right. Pueyo. It was sent to me by one of our parishioners. A very well-written article written on the 10th of March and updated on the 13th of March. And he was identifying some of what I would have said a little earlier in terms of lessons learned in the issues of social distancing, containment, and mitigation as strategies for treating with the disease. And what we are seeking to do is to collaborate with the health authorities in implementing these measures so we could get a grasp as to where we are, also will to raise alert in what is happening and how we should respond. So, for example, I've heard a number of people say that they did not know, realize that their hands went to their faces so often.
Yes.
So often. And all of this will have some kind of impact on our or spatial awareness or self-control or relationship one to the other. And so many other things. But more than that is, the longer distance trouble of this is, if we do not take the necessary action, people become ill, we run the risk of overwhelming the health facilities.
Yes.
And in so doing, it may not be the virus itself which causes the death. The virus might cause people to be ill and we overwhelm the system. And there's no attention to be given for other regular and new illnesses, which are not virus caused, but we cannot attend to them because we are overwhelmed by what is happening. And I think it is an attempt, a strategic attempt, to reduce infection rates, reduce illness, and so to cause us to be able to manage the disease properly, which will then give us some time to for the arrival of a vaccine or other kinds of medication to help us to really bring it under full control.
Well, and Bishop, also, one other question, because as you spoke about that, that speaks about the culture of Trinidad and Tobago, where we are kind of touchy people. You get a little handshake, a little five, a bunks, a hug. This is the culture of Trinidad and Tobago, especially during the greeting of peace. Are you suggesting, Bishop, that it will be a long-term culture change that would be encouraged in the church itself in terms of these greetings and these kinds of things and fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ?
I would hope not. But in due time, we were nervous about H1N1. We were nervous about SARS. We were nervous about bird flu and so forth.
Yes.
And we came to a point of real relaxation in terms of the strictures and procedures that were put in place. And I have no doubt that this will also be the result of this new virus. A part of the issue is that it is new. There is great uncertainty in terms of its patterns of behavior and its possibilities for mutation and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's the kind of precaution that is being put in place and that will cause us to contain and mitigate and eventually beat it down. So I have no fear that we with our creative selves will find a way how to continue to be that kind of lively, vivacious personality type that we have.
Wonderful. And Bishop, I'm going back to a point previously because I want to touch on something in particular, if you would allow me. One of the duties that we spoke about was fellowship within the community of faith. In terms of that aspect, I'm going back to, right? So yeah. One of the questions or one of the concerns was in terms of our responsibility to our community meaning beyond the church doors.
Yeah.
What about things like distribution of outreach, social outreach? What about community projects that we may have, for example, homework centers, these things? And in particular, with the nature of it, hospital visits, because I know these things are crucial. Prison visits as well. I know these are crucial aspects of ministry in our church. Can you talk on and bring us to some sort of awareness as to what are what direction we are going to in relation to these things?
Yeah. Now, a number of these matters that you have raised lend themselves to the practice or the effect of social distancing. Mm-hmm. Social distancing can be managed if you do not have large gatherings. Okay. So some of what you have made mention about, we can arrange. So, for example, coming in the line, in the line at the immigration, there was no social distancing per se. People were standing next to each other and so forth. Mm-hmm. And in the line to the customs, the same thing was happening. But what I noted is that the customs officers, the immigration officers have cages. The customs officers, they have a cordoned off area which keeps you at a particular distance from them.
Okay.
And conversations happened and the documents were passed on and received and the procedures followed. So quite a lot of what you have said can be managed in that way. It is the crowded situations that can present a difficulty and make it easier for transmission or for the infection of new persons.
All right. Now, Bishop, I know that you cannot say at this present point in time, or it will be difficult rather for you to say at this point in time, how long this measure of keeping the churches closed will be in effect. During the period of closure, would there be or is there any, are there any intentions to have the churches and the sacred spaces sanitized?
Well, part of that was given in the previous announcement in terms of the rail. And added to that, the places of regular touching, handling, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that is undoubtedly one of the matters that will be discussed at tomorrow's chapter meeting and next week's clergy council meeting, which will also try to observe the whole matter of the social distancing. The chapter meeting will be done by one of the social media platforms, through one of the social media platforms.
Uh-huh.
And those are matters that can be undertaken while the congregations are not there.
And also another question that just came in. With the suspension of services, Bishop,
yes.
What would be the primary? Because I know some people see, I know there are lots of responsibilities that the clergy are required to do apart from church services.
Yeah.
All right. So could you, for the listening, the general public, could you share some of the activities that the clergy will be involved in, seeing as there has been a suspension of services, not necessarily technology, because I'll come into that in a bit, but suspension of services, in quotation marks or inverted commas, rather. Could you highlight some of the activities that some of the clergy may be involved in over this period?
Okay. And as I said, we will seek to fine-tune how the care of the faithful might be undertaken during this period. But the task of the clergy person is an onerous task. They're usually perhaps most seen on a Sunday morning or worship morning or evening, as the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, some people are of the view that that is the full extent of their work.
Yes.
I would say that we are having the synod coming up. Preparation for the synod is in train, and report writing, and that is one area that will be undertaken. Clergy are to be engaged in reading and study as they refresh and renew themselves for the task to which they have been called, preaching, counseling, guiding families, guiding individuals, working in their school. And some of that, much of that, I would say, would be undertaken during this time. That will not also negate visits and people who come to the offices still needing help, whether it is material or spiritual help,
mm-hmm.
people who go to their offices. So I can say that there is quite a lot to be done that can be done, and we will seek to explore new ways or specific ways of reaching the public and the membership during this time, a time like this.
Yes.
How do we respond? It is something of a learning experience for all of us, but when we put our heads together, we can really refine how to bring it to good effect.
Yes. And Bishop, also I want to bring in as well, as you mentioned, in terms of bringing it into good effect and all these things, the use of technology. Today, Bishop, I would have witnessed in the general WhatsApp group for the Anglican Church, all right, a lot of clergy would have had individual live stream services,
yeah.
And which I find is really commendable, and it was greatly appreciated. It was shared throughout various church groups. Electronic media, rather, social media, WhatsApp, etc. In terms of the future, do you think that, is it part of the topic? I think that's the best question. Is it on the agenda for you to highlight technology in the churches for this urgent need for those who may not be able to commune and to fellowship in situations not only like this, but for our shut-ins, those who may not be in the country, those who may have to work in our various hospitals, protective services, etc. Is it part of the agenda or in the discussion for the use of technology for the church?
Yes, that has been on the table for some time. It requires personnel committed to that, a ministry like that in some cases. And in other cases, some people are not yet confident in bringing it into being.
Okay.
But some of our churches have been doing that for some time, and I have received favorable comments from people who have been out of the country and who have followed the morning liturgy, the liturgy of any particular day or the Sundays in which they are overseas and not here. They have not been able to receive the body and bread in a literal way, but the, as it were, what you might call the spiritual communion. They have listened to the word, they have heard the sermon, they have followed the prayers, they have said their own prayers, and in fact, they have worshipped wherever they were with the particular community. We would like to encourage this and to support practice, so that you it is a means of evangelism. It's a way, a manner of evangelism. So what I think I was asking about is the whole matter of how do we not disappoint the people who join our worship and would like to contribute, would like to give offerings or tithes, as the case might be. And I think someone gave a suggestion and a proposal how that can be done using the website and so forth.
Okay.
So it is really to try to encourage that to happen, and that requires, that is very new for some people, and some people do not have the technologically savvy persons in their congregations, but no doubt it is one of the things that has been spoken about over and over again, and some people are moving more and more towards it. Because today, you said you followed some. I actually was able to zone in from outside of the country to three of them.
You see?
And I thought that they were commendable efforts in terms of engaging the community.
Yes.
But we have to also think about those who do not have that facility.
Okay.
So if this is to go on for some time, we will have to look at some radio time, or radio and television time, to probably have one central mass for the wider African community of the nation as we seek to negotiate this time of challenge.
Yes. Well, I want to ask another question, because this goes back to clergy as well. I am... many may not be aware of the various training programs that are presently on stream. That is in terms of lay ministers, deacons, priests, etc., who are presently being groomed and trained for ordination. Would there be a suspension of these trainings during this period?
Not necessarily, because again, the principle of social distances can be effective, because these groups are not extremely large groups.
Mm-hmm.
The protocols for hand washing, hand sanitizing, distance between persons, the questions as well of those who are ill, well, you withdraw from the gathering until such time as you might not stand the chance of infecting anyone else, but you can also receive your information by on the virtual line in terms of the by email or otherwise, as the case might be. So those need not be suspended indefinitely.
Yes.
Because again, what the issue is really is to have the larger gathering
limited.
Yes.
And quick question again, Bishop. Somebody now messaged, sent me a WhatsApp message here. What is the church's response to those who may be affected, whether directly or indirectly, with the COVID-19 virus? Would any assistance be given?
Again, I wouldn't venture an answer at this stage.
Okay.
That is something that we will discuss tomorrow, and we will get the best advice on. Now, the issue is, we have to minister to the sick, the well, and the dying. That is a part of the command of our ministry.
Yes.
And it would be our duty to find a way to do it, so that I can say, yes, we will have to minister to people who are infected, but we would have to be guided as to how do we protect ourselves and the other people who we have to minister to. One of the issues of the adjustments that have been made,
yes,
had to do with the fact that you would, do not want the priest or deacon, as the case might be, or lay minister, to be an agent of transmission.
Yes.
Which is why the specificity in terms of some of the protocols and procedures, it will be a travesty if he who leads a community of hope is the one who is infecting and distressing and destroying the lives that he is to give a boost to join the march to the kingdom.
And Bishop, as you're on that topic, because I actually now take that as my next question to you, while you were talking about that, our present method of distribution of the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is via two methods. One, the shared cup, or via intinction.
Or you can have in one kind.
Thank
Receiving the body only.
What are we looking at the possibility? Because I know that the method has been changed on a short-term basis in relation to you can have intinction and placed into your hands. Would this be, would it be a method of a part of the conversation in terms of the method? Is there any plan to change this method in the foreseeable future? Or is this only, once again, a temporary measure?
Which method?
That is the sharing of the cup.
Common cup?
Yes.
No, there's no plan to change that.
Noted.
I am not in support of any plan to change that. We have some research which tells you that over so many 100 years, we have not been able to trace infection of any disease by way of the use of the common cup.
Yes.
More than that, is that the clergy consume the remains of the common cup.
Yes.
And we have had no clergy collapse here and suffer with this, that, or the other by way of infection of whatever is happening. It raises another issue, though. There is in the discussion,
yes,
that the chalices that we use are gold-plated or silver-plated or actually of stainless steel material, which has its own effect, and as well the matter of the alcohol content of the wine that we use. Now, what has happened is people see a chalice and it looks nice and they buy it for their church, or they want to buy it. And sometimes when you say, listen, before you purchase, you should consult so that we can have what is appropriate and adequate, then sometimes that just seems as if you're making a fuss.
Yes.
But where you have faulty, holy hardware, so to speak, that you have risks associated, things that are flaking or peeling or that need to be redone and are not redone. But there might also be a matter of cost or expense or availability of these places of maintenance and repair.
Yes.
But these matters have to be treated with the sanctity that befits the practice and the exercise of the office that we are engaged in. And consequently, I hold fast to the matter of the common cup.
Yes. because I have two other questions that I just got via WhatsApp again. Those from the churches who have my number, they sending me WhatsApp left, right, and center. But
not a problem at all. Not a problem.
Two questions in relation to that, right? One, the purificators, is it safe to use as a present form, or is it something that would be revised? The use of the purificators with the cup. That's one question.
Mm-hmm.
And the second question is it in relation to the one cup, because some denominations use the disposable cups for the sharing of the body of Christ. So they asked if it's a cost factor, or is it keeping with the tradition why we continue to use the one cup method?
I can't say I understand the question, but the matter is that it is a common cup.
Yes.
Common indicates our participation in a oneness. And that oneness is what we share. We share that oneness in faith. And people have done that. We have done this for many, many, many years. The matter of you saying tradition, I hope that tradition is not a loaded and pejorative word, as some people use tradition.
I think they were just trying to get some clarification as to the reason why we continue with the one cup in light of the situation. But
what is the problem with it? You know, I don't know what is the problem with it.
Yes.
I haven't heard, what is the problem with it?
You know, but I think they probably were just trying to find out, so different people may have different views. So, and I haven't heard the problem, I expect. They just asked the direct question there in relation to that. But
well, I understand, and I'm not trying to put off the question really. If someone is concerned about it,
yes.
But one would like to hear what are the intervening factors which is leading to the movement of it. Because what we have done in the last, and we have not changed that, we have actually brought this matter to receiving the common cup in three kinds. Mm-hmm. Receiving the sacrament in three ways.
Yes.
The body and blood from the blood from the common cup.
Yes.
Intinction in your hand, because we are saying if you put it in your mouth,
the priest,
you are inhaling on our hand, and then you are making my hand transmission.
Yes.
Right. So we intinct and we place it in your hand, and you having sanitized your hand before you have come to the rail, you feel comfortable to have it.
Yes.
And then you can receive the body only.
Okay.
That is an approved and proper way to receive communion as well. And this is really for people who think that they are not yet at that point and place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say to you that where I have just come from in the Turks and Caicos, the bishop has suspended the common cup.
Okay.
And my information is, unofficially, that quite a number of people did not go for communion today.
Oh. So
that quite a number of people did not go for communion today.
Oh. So they continued.
Very strong reaction.
You know, all right, no problem. So, but the person just responded. They say it's not to be that they just wanted to know. They say they have no problem. They just wanted to know from what some of their friends ask about in relation to that aspect.
But so, some people look at it from the, it is more what sanitary or something, or sanitary, that everybody should have a cup and then you dispose of it.
Yes.
So, and that is a method, and I think that is a method that some of our ecumenical friends and partners use in their offering of the communion. And I think we are probably maybe one of a minority of groups that maintain the common cup as an extended practice, ongoing practice, rather.
And Bishop, I have one more question before I allow you to give your final comments. With the present situation and the difficulties, let's not use the word difficulties, the need for adjustments and the time it may take to adjust, for example, vestries and church committees where reports are required from various parishes and committees, do you think that there will be the need for postponement of the scheduled date for Synod this year?
I don't think so, but again, that would depend on how faithful we are to containing the situation that is upon us now.
No problem.
I think if we are able to bring some containment to the matter, because all of this, or much of this, has to do with consciousness, people's deliberate action not to take actions that will cause transmission.
Yes.
Certainly, we don't know who are the infected people, because we gather that you can be quite normal and well, but you are infected and your body is dealing with it, but you have the chance, or you have the facility, to infect someone else who might have a weak system and who comes down in a virulent way with the illness. So that I can't say we will postpone yet, and we are not eager to postpone,
mm-hmm.
but we would want to collaborate with what is the greater good, so that we ourselves, because as much as we may be criticized for closing the church and whatever else has happened, we will also be worse criticized if we were contributors,
yes.
to an infection rate, or to the raising of the statistical bar in terms of number of infected cases.
That's it. And Bishop, do you have any final comments for us, for those who are listening, in relation to the topic at question this evening?
Yes. Well, the thing is that I would like to thank the congregations of our church for their patience and faithfulness in this time of sacrifice. Because, yes, this is the regular worship. Many generations have been brought up to hold that sacred, and to have it disrupted in this way can be quite off-putting. But gives us an opportunity for the engagement in personal and private worship. Worship with the family, worship in a smaller community where we can manage the matter of the social distancing that is proposed, mm-hmm. as a key factor. And actually, to do some more introspection on the readings and the liturgy of the day.
Yes.
So I think that we can get quite a lot out of the present situation if we were to engage it meaningfully. And I think the other offerings of the social media that some of our clergy are engaged in will also help. What we're looking to do is that I'm not sure that we can say that we will be back to normal next Sunday. So
yes.
What we will try to work out is whether we can have, as I indicated before, I think I mentioned it, whether we can have a televised service.
Yes.
That will also be fed by the radio, and we work at it in that way to help to reach
as many the wider people as possible.
Group of persons. Yes.
Thank you, Bishop, for joining us this evening and for highlighting the topics and the points. And we look forward to hearing more from you. I believe that the general public would have got most of their questions answered. time permitting this evening. So I continue to pray God's guidance on you and your family at this point in time as you lead your flock in this part of God's vineyard.
Well, two things will happen if I could just add a little, if I have a minute, please.
Sure, you
can. I'm going to, I have prepared a pastoral letter, and I will send that out to be read in the congregation where it will be put up in the social media spaces, and where possible, copies are made available for parishioners, and parishes with emails can email it to parishioners.
Yes.
And I've also had a prayer written to engage this matter of the COVID 19 as a daily prayer that we can use, or use it in part or in whole, but something which can guide our life of prayer as we go through these days. So those are two matters which will come forward in short order, and other aspects of reflection and inspiration to help our people along as we try to be faithful towards civic duty, what we ought to do to the nation, and our duty to God.
Thank you. And Bishop, I was about to ask you to close this evening's program with a prayer. So I don't know if you are willing to...
No, well, Mark, you have to be more forthright than that. You cannot...
Bishop, I would like you to...
Ask me the question and then tell me that if I will...
But Bishop, I would like you to, seeing as you have a prayer prepared, that you bless us, the community of Trinidad and Tobago and the listening public of the Anglican Voice on I-95.5 FM, that you would bless us with your prayer as we close this evening.
All right. So that prayer that I spoke about sounds like this. Goes something like this. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives, thy service find in deeper reverence praying. Sovereign Lord and Father, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, we bring before you the current challenge of the coronavirus across the world, in our Caribbean land, and in our nation. Help us to be free from fear, even though the earth be moved, and the mountains be toppled into the depth of the sea, and the mountains tremble at its tumult. Remind us, O God, that you are in the midst. Dear Father, direct the minds of our doctors and nurses and caregivers,
yes,
the health authorities and government authorities,
yes,
who make decisions on our behalf.
Yes, God.
Inspire and move us, O God, to full trust in you by your prayers, or obedience, or compliance with good hygienic practice, and our care for ourselves and each other. Give healing to those who are ill. Enable those researching medical treatment. Strengthen and support the medical workers, and prevent us from unbelief. We look to you for healing and guidance and consolation. We place our lives and times into your hands, and we respond in faith, wisdom, and hope. Through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, very much, and we look forward to hearing from you soon and in the near future.
Yes,
thank
please.
You.
Thank you. A pleasure being with you this evening.
Thank you.
Yes, and good evening to all your listeners. God's blessing.
God's blessings to you as well, Bishop. Thank you. So, good evening to Trinidad and Tobago. Those of you who were listening, you were just listening to the Right Reverend Claude Berkeley, the Diocesan Bishop for the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago, the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. And you were listening to the Anglican Voice, a program that is aired every Sunday evening on I-95.5 FM, brought to you by the Incorporated Trustees of the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. We wish you God's richest blessings as you continue this week. We pray that God will continue to guide you and keep you safe in everything that you do. And remember, to God be the glory. Have a blessed evening, everybody.
shape of love. Brother JT, testify.
Lord, I love to sing your praises. Yeah, yeah.